Welcome to Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of your life. This program is brought to you by Hidden with Christ Ministries of Tustin, California. Now, here's Rita with Keys to Victorious Christian Living.
Hello, friends. I have a question for you today. How desperate are you? Perhaps you would answer that question by saying, I am very desperate. I'm desperate for this problem to be resolved, or I'm desperate for an answer from God for my future. Regardless of what it is that you may feel desperate about, God has a way for you to receive your answer. But I'll ask you again, how desperate are you? David, in Psalm 42, verse 1, described a state of desperation that he had for God himself when he said, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And in those words, we see a sensation of desperation from David. And he wasn't only desperate for God's hand to intervene for him, but he had come to a place in his life where he was desperate for God himself. And that is something that God wants for each and every Christian, where we have a desperation for the presence of God in our lives, where we have a desperation for knowing God in a way that we have never known him before, for a deeper intimacy with God. And yet we live in a day where distractions abound and everything in our culture seems to point away from God, trying to get our eyes and our sights set upon natural things. But God wants us to always remain with a certain amount of desperation in our lives, in the sense that we are never satisfied with everything that we have in God. We always are desperate for more of him. This picture that David writes in Psalm 42 about the deer panting for water is an excellent one, because a deer, when it is driven by thirst to look for water, is usually in that state from one of three conditions, because deer will stay near sources of water. But if they have been, number one, fleeing from danger, they may find themselves in that state where they are literally panting for water. Or, number two, after they have been in combat, they will find themselves very thirsty and panting for water. Or, number three, in times of drought, will deer find themselves panting after water and going lower and lower in elevation, trying to find a source of water. How desperate are you? Have you been fleeing from danger in a certain way in your life, and so you're desperate for God to intervene? Or have you been in combat? Have you been in a spiritual battle, and so you find yourself weary and thirsty for the intervention of God? Or have you been in a time of drought, perhaps a spiritual drought, and you are truly desperate for a drink from the fountain of living water from God himself? God wants us to have that thirst for him and the thirst for him to have his hand move in our lives rather than ourselves utilizing our own resources, our own strength, our own abilities to try to solve our problems. God wants us to live desperate for him every single day. But how desperate are you? Let me ask you this question. Are you desperate enough to be teachable? When Charles Finney, the great revivalist, had his Bible college, his theological seminary, he was heard praying this prayer for his students. And he said this, O Lord, do not let these young men think that because they have let down a little line into the infinite sea of thy greatness, that they have sounded all of its depths. Finney was praying that his students, who had sat under the teaching of one of the most anointed men that has ever graced the pages of church history, though they had been recipients of tremendous input from God Himself and revelation from the Word of God, Finney did not want them to think that they had sounded all the depths of the infinite greatness and wisdom of God. And my friend, there are none of us that have sounded all the depths of the infinite sea of God's greatness and wisdom. So let me say to you, are you desperate enough to remain teachable? Sometimes when God wants to give an answer to someone who's been crying out for it, if they have an unteachable spirit, that sense that they already know everything and they already have heard that sermon before and they already understand that scripture and they are unteachable, no one can tell them anything, then even God, when He tries to give them an answer, they are resistant to it and they don't even realize they're resisting God. Sometimes God will send someone to give you a word or to bring you could say, a message from God, the answer that is from God. And you may not be desperate enough to be teachable, or you may not be desperate enough to receive the message through the vessel that God used. Are you desperate enough not to despise the vessel that God might use to bring that answer you need? Let me give you an example. When Balaam the prophet was on his way to curse the Israelites, that was his plan, and along the way, his donkey began to stop in the middle of the road. And even though Balaam beat the donkey would not move. And then the donkey began to crush him up against the side of a wall to try to keep him from moving forward, trying to get the donkey to move forward. And then eventually the donkey spoke to Balaam and said that why do you beat me? I'm trying to save your life, and explained that he was doing something God had wanted him to do. And Balaam, even in that moment, having a donkey speak with the voice of a human, he still despised the vessel that was giving him what was literally the answer he needed at that moment to save his own life. Are you desperate enough not to despise the vessel that God might use to bring you your answer? Some of you, even listening to this broadcast, might find it hard to receive from a woman preaching a message from the Gospels. Don't be resistant to perhaps what God might do to bring you your answer. Be desperate enough not to despise the vessel God could use. Naaman the Syrian had a desperate need. He was the leader of the army of Syria, and he had come to Israel hoping beyond hope that he could be healed of his leprosy. When he arrived at the prophet's house, he and all his amazing contingents that he had brought with him stood and waited for the prophet to come out. But instead, the prophet sent out his servant, and the servant simply gave Naaman a message telling him that he was to go and dip in this river 7 times and that his leprosy would be healed. Well, Naaman was infuriated. He didn't like it that the prophet himself didn't come out. He didn't like it that he got his message through this servant of the prophet. And he especially didn't like the instructions that he had received. And he left in a huff. And as he went on his way, his own servants implored him, "Had the prophet told you some amazing thing to do, wouldn't you have done it? Why don't you go and do as he said and dip in that river 7 times? And they were able to compel him to consider and then to do the thing that the servant of the prophet had instructed him. But Naaman almost missed the very answer God sent him. Why? because he despised the vessel that was delivering the very message of God. And he also wasn't real teachable. He expected it to come a certain way, and he wasn't very receptive when the message came in a format that he wasn't expecting. Are you desperate enough to stay teachable? And are you desperate enough to not despise the vessel that God could use to give you the answer you've been praying and waiting for? Sometimes, when we are desperate for an answer, God will send us a truth that we needed to hear that maybe our flesh is not interested in hearing. And it could be the very thing that you need the most. And yet many people will disregard it because their flesh is not interested in receiving that information. Eli, the priest in the house of God, was a man who loved God. And the scriptures say that he revered and he did fear God, though the Lord said against him that he had not raised his sons up properly, had not restrained them from doing evil. And when Samuel, the young boy, came to live with Eli and be raised up to serve God, God used the boy prophet Samuel to give a message to Eli, who was at that time very advanced in age. Now, Eli could have easily despised the vessel, Samuel, because he was a child, or he could have resisted receiving the word that came through the mouth of this boy prophet. And yet when Samuel delivered the message that was difficult to deliver because it pronounced a judgment on the house of Eli, Eli's response was to say that whatever God said was good and let it come to pass. He did not resist the truth that Samuel presented to him from God. And yet that's not the response that a lot of people have when they hear the truth of God spoken that directly addresses the situation that they have. How desperate are you for your answer? Are you desperate enough to accept truth that your flesh doesn't want to hear? How desperate are you today? Are you desperate enough to pray? Many people feel that they have prayed and they've cried out to God, and yet there are those who have entered into the depths of prayer and of coming before God that begin to see answers that many others never find. And oftentimes that prayer is associated with fasting as well. In Korea, in Seoul, Korea, Pastor Paul Youngi Cho has what is known as the largest church in the world, nearly 1 million members. It's an amazing thing, and his story is quite astounding over the past almost 30 years of building and growing this church. But his church strength is without a doubt in prayer, as he has often said himself. His church has built a place that they call Prayer Mountain. And in Prayer Mountain, people will go and spend days and days and pray in this place for the needs of their own life or for the needs of others. And so many of his prayer intercessors from his own church will go there and pray for the needs of the church and for the needs of the world, because they receive literally thousands of letters asking for prayer from all over the world. Dr. Cho has said that he'll have upwards of 300,000 people come to Prayer Mountain in a year, and people will go and stay there for days and even weeks at a time. How desperate are you? Are you desperate enough to pray? Are you desperate enough to fast? One of the most desperate times in my life came not too long ago. And I was at a place in my spiritual life where I knew God was trying to prompt me to make a change, to to turn a corner, so to speak, to move in a different direction, but I didn't know what it was. And the more I thought about it, and the more I prayed about it, the more desperate I began to feel. My husband and I have been in ministry together, co-pastoring a church that we founded. And though I loved our church and I felt such joy there, suddenly, as if overnight, I felt the grace that had been upon me to assist my husband in pastoring completely leave me. And I knew the difference between operating under the grace of God and operating in the flesh. And I knew I did not want to try to help pastor a church operating in the flesh, because that would certainly result in disaster. But I suddenly, as if God had lifted a cloak off of me, knew I was completely devoid of the grace or the anointing to continue to help pastor that church on a daily basis. I didn't know what to do. I didn't understand what that meant. I became more and more desperate every day. I told my husband, I don't understand. I don't know what it is, but something is happening. I became so desperate in my crying out to God for an answer that when the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I want you to go on an extended fast, and he told me the number of days, I quickly, with joy, said yes. And I guarantee you, I had never fasted for the length of time that the Lord instructed me to on that occasion. But I was so desperate. I was desperate enough to fast. And the glorious result of that fast and that time of prayer was that God gave me the exact instructions to begin this radio ministry, which had never truly crossed my mind in any serious way. And it was because of this moving of the Spirit and this prompting of God and this truly this place of desperation that I got to spiritually, that I finally was desperate enough to fast and desperate enough to pray and open enough to hear what the Spirit of the Lord was trying to instruct me to do. But in the busyness of my life, I had not heard those instructions from God. And it was only when I became desperate enough to fast and pray and wait upon God for the answer that the specific wisdom and direction from God was given to me. And I share that with you because I sense that some of you listening are desperate for an answer from God. And maybe you've been feeling frustrated in your career or in your direction or in what you're doing in your life. And you know there's got to be more and that God has something more for you, but you don't know what it is or you don't know how to go about it. Let me encourage you. Are you desperate enough to pray and fast and wait upon God? He will not disappoint you. We know that God answers prayer. His word promises us this over and over and over again. And he answers the cry of the desperate heart. In Hebrews 11:6, we find the scripture, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently, and may I say desperately, seek him. He's a rewarder of the person who will desperately seek after him. He will reward you. He will answer you. Are you desperate enough to pray and to fast and to wait upon God? Perhaps your need today is financial. Well, let me say this to you. God has an economy that is unlike the economy of the world, and it operates under heavenly principles or kingdom principles that are not the way the world would operate, nor the way that the world would give you advice if you're in a financial situation of desperation. But let me tell you one of Dr. Paul Yonggi Cho's amazing stories. I think this will help you and it will bless you. Dr. Cho told about when he was beginning to build his large sanctuary back in 1973 that the dollar had become devalued at that time and that the Korean currency was tied in value to the American dollar. And because of it, Korea began to enter into a deep recession. And just at that same time, which those of us in the United States will remember, in the early 70s, the oil crisis hit. And this worsened Korea's already fragile economy. People in his church lost their jobs and their incomes went down, and so did the church income. Having signed contracts already with a construction company for the building of his sanctuary, he suddenly found himself experiencing an unprecedented increase in building costs. And Dr. Cho found himself seeing the possibility of a financial collapse. Despondently, Dr. Cho wrote, "I sat in my unfinished church building, wishing the still bare rafters would fall on me." But instead, they did not, and his church people began to pray very desperately, very vigilantly for their pastor and for the church. Seeing that only a miraculous intervention of God would deliver us from a catastrophe, Dr. Cho continued, "I joined the intercessors at Prayer Mountain. One evening while we were meeting to pray on the ground floor of our unfinished church, several hundred joined me in prayer. An old woman walked slowly in my direction. As she approached the platform, I noticed the tears were filling her eyes. She bowed and said, 'Pastor, I want to give these items to you so that you may sell them for a few pennies to help with our building fund.' I looked down, and in her hands were an old rice bowl and a pair of chopsticks. Then I said to her, 'Sister, I can't take these necessities from you.' 'But Pastor,' she replied, 'I'm an old woman. I have nothing of value to give to my Lord. Yet Jesus has graciously saved me. These items are the only things in the world I possess.' Tears now flowing freely down her wrinkled cheeks. 'You must let me give these to Jesus. I can place my rice on old newspapers, and I can use my hands to feed myself. I know that I will die soon, so I don't want to meet Jesus without giving him something on this earth.' As she finished speaking, everyone there began to weep openly. The Holy Spirit's presence filled the place, and we all began to pray in the Spirit. A businessman in the back of the group was deeply moved and said, 'Pastor Cho, I want to buy that rice bowl and chopsticks for $1,000. With that, everyone started to pledge their possessions. My wife and I sold our small home and gave the money to the church. This spirit of giving saved us from financial ruin." May I ask you, are you desperate enough to give? God's economy brings us a unique principle where when we are in need financially, giving is our way out. The scripture says, "Give and it will be given to you, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will men press into your bosom." Are you desperate enough to give? I want to encourage you today. How desperate are you? Are you desperate enough to do things God's way? Are you desperate enough to be teachable? To hear from God, perhaps something that's hard to hear, but it's what you need? Are you desperate enough not to despise the vessel that may deliver the word that you need in due season? Are you desperate enough to pray? Are you desperate enough to fast? Are you desperate enough to give? God will answer you. Bring your desperation before the Lord, and He will answer the cry of your heart. That's all the time that we have today. I want to encourage you, be a person who's desperate for God. He never turns away that desperate, diligent, seeker of God, and He will answer you. Thank you for listening. This is Rita Langland encouraging you. Have a victorious week.
Thanks for joining us today for Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. If you would like to support this ministry, please write to us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. That's P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. Visit our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com, where you may order tapes or submit a prayer request. Or call us at toll-free 1-866-KEY-HEALS. Again, thanks for joining us for Keys to Victorious Christian Living.